Hi. This is Beth Flick from Able Media, and welcome to our 10th episode of Speaking on Ability with Beth Flick. Our guests tonight are from Communities United Against Police Brutality. They are here to discuss changes in 911 legislation that will benefit people with disabilities. It will, I will let them introduce themselves. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Okay. My name is James Riley. I'm a volunteer member of Communities United Against Police Brutality, and got involved with the group this past summer during the charter amendment for the city of Minneapolis. And that's what brought me to the group.
Okay.
My name is Bill Sivek, and I'm a volunteer. I was interested in the mental health issue, and in particular, I have some affected family, and I think CAPD is pushing for the right thing. We have some good things going on here.
Oh, good. How far along is the bill forbidding police from involvement in 911 calls involving a mental health crisis in the via the legislature?
Bill, would you happen to know that?
The bill's language has been worked up in a partnership with several allied organizations, and most recently with known in Minnesota work with our group, and we have in the revisor, Office of Revisor at this moment, and will be tracking it hopefully this coming week. And I don't know if this thing will have legs this year. We have some legislators who are extremely excited to present this, and the concept is I think the concept is eventually going to win out. Hopefully this year, otherwise next or the year after. It's the simplest change. It is a change in Minnesota Statute 403.03, and it simply says that 911 systems shall include referrals to mental health crisis teams when appropriate. And that, believe it or not, that is not the existing language. The existing language does not have any requirement. It does say that it is allowable, but without this change, what we're seeing is that 911 systems are frankly loath to work with the county mental health crisis teams or any mobile mental health crisis team that's available. They defer to a police-only response. So this is a exciting milestone legislation, the kind of change that's about as simple as it gets. But the time has come for this common sense change.
Okay. And what got you involved with police brutality as an activist?
I was witness to an incident involving my sister years ago, and then I noticed an uptick in incidents that involved mental illness, which was also part of my sister's encounter with police. And I just thought that the system needs some reform, and I was interested in working with people who were creative and energetic about seeking some common sense reform.
Okay.
This is James. I also have some incidents in my family that have brought me to some involvement with the county resources to help with the situation, and had some contact also with the police involvement. It was helpful to find a group that was able to expose me to, over the years, what had been going on in dealing with situations that I was put in with my family. And it was very helpful to find that organization to see solutions that are available.
Yeah, I definitely understand that. It's nice not to be getting all that red tape and run around.
So was there anything else that you feel that the public should know about this legislation? Maybe how people can get involved, or you know, any other stories you'd like to tell that are connected to this legislation?
James, you want to try?
Well, the mental health crisis program, the state is looking for public safety answering points to maintain the mental health crisis program by either providing 911 telecommunicators with training in addressing mental health crisis, including suicide prevention.
Mm-hmm.
And the training in mental health crisis must, at a minimum, include education about mental illness in children and adults and co-occurring mental illnesses and substance use disorders. And training in de-escalation and evidence-based suicide prevention strategies.
You know, I'll point out that this bill is named after Travis Jordan. Travis Jordan is the terrible. It's tragedy in one of many. It's a man who was suicidal, and his girlfriend called 911, and they wanted to get help for this man, and in the end, really, they were officers came and 14 minutes later, Travis Gordon was dead. And this is a great example of why 911 needs to create a new 911 standard in Minnesota, where the police are no longer considered the default and the only possible response. Even in a case where there are some safety concerns, you can have a co-response, and that can very often save someone, help de-escalate a situation, and having the clinician there is important. Now, we're hoping many, many calls with this new legislation, many calls will be deferred to a mobile crisis team, and there will be no police contact, which really is a win for everyone. The police have difficulties with these calls. They know it. And they don't relish these calls. The officers are certainly not mental health professionals, and it's a difficult task for them with their minimal training. And this is one story. Obviously, there can be, if you recall the headlines over the years, there have been many, many. And the old standard was that police went because no one else was available. We in Minnesota, we have something going on that is very unusual. We have built up a mobile mental health crisis infrastructure. We have teams of mobile mental health professionals available throughout the state, and our state has invested real hard-earned taxpayer dollars in this critical service. It's something that most states do not have. They don't have anything near what we have. And it's a terrible shame to imagine, to realize that people are getting hurt by officers in Minnesota, that mm-hmm. they're being treated, that officers are the first contact who become the gateway to care, or if things go wrong, they become the gateway to a damaging entanglement with the criminal justice system. And this is just the same, because Minnesota is not like the vast majority of states. We have an option. We have, if not enough, we need to invest more money in it, but we actually do have a statewide network of crisis, mobile mental health crisis teams, at least to a degree. That's what makes this bill, the bill would not make sense in other states of the nation, because other states have not invested enough to create an alternative to the police in rural areas and areas that are simply poor, cities that are poor, or vast stretches of the rural areas in particular.
So this legislation actually mobilizes teams that we already have prepared in a greater way to respond to the things that they were trained to respond to, but it makes it a requirement to use those teams rather than having something just be pushed aside depending on the person responding at the dispatch. Is that what I'm hearing?
Right. There's a reluctance to change the status quo, and the status quo is very simple. It is 911 leads to either fire police or ambulance. And all, you know, and that is not, none of those are true, a proper response or someone who's had a psychiatric emergency. So, yes, we are very fortunate in that we have some resources in this state. I'm not going to suggest that these resources are enough. They need to be built up more. But I'm going to emphasize the fact that we have something in every corner of our state, and that is something Minnesotans should be proud of. We have done so much better than the vast majority. We might be the best, if not very close, in terms of mobile mental health crisis infrastructure in this state. And it is absolutely, it is almost a sin to send only police when that resource exists. It is right now only used to respond to private citizens who call up directly to those county teams. And that's good. That's a service that's needed. But expanding it to help people, again, if you just imagine like this, like Travis Jordan, if fate just, fate and circumstance and bad luck means that your call for help gets answered by a 911 dispatcher, you should still get the right response. And that's what this is about.
And kind of to add to what Bill's saying, the response by the right people at the right time does much more benefit to the people in these situations. And a lot of the time what has been seen with police response is 72-hour holds and that type of activity, which allows the situation not to be handled in the moment, and it makes it more difficult to address what was actually needed at the time.
So I know I asked this earlier, but what are the best ways for people that might listen to the podcast to get involved with this and to become advocates themselves for this legislation, for this kind of operation of emergency services and that sort of thing? What's the best way for people to contribute to this?
The best way is to realize that you have people who represent you in the legislature. Send them an email, send them a written letter, which is usually, you know, blows their mind. Or even call and leave a message. But in some way, contact your state legislators and let them know that this is a bill that's coming down the pipe. It's an idea that you support. It's the Travis Law, pardon me. And that is actually an amazing, really simple, but also amazingly effective. You are constituents. They work for you. Let them know that they should be aware of this. They should support this. And that this needs to become law this year.
Yeah, just becoming more familiar with this issue and then spreading the word to others that see it going on as a network. We can become stronger.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, it is the same. The more we spread
this issue, the more people can see how it's affecting their own communities, the more they'll see that there's a solution that is visible and can work. So very much to spread the word to others who see it going on, what the answer would be, which, like Bill said, to contact your council member or any of your representatives to promote the bill.
And one thing that Beth and I can do with the podcast is to link to some of the language and documentation for the bill, and also to help people get in contact with their legislators. So we would love to help by doing that.
Yeah.
Excellent. I'll point out that this is, if you are involved in politics and you support groups, there are a number of groups that are part of the partnership that's putting this legislation forward. And you can certainly contact them and see if they want to create work through them to support this. And I'll mention a few. Obviously, QAPD, the MAMI Minnesota is on. They help write this. The George Kidd Coalition, pardon me, which includes CARE Minnesota, Disability Justice Network, Racial Justice Network, Twin Cities Coalition for Justice for Jamar. So you can work through groups that are out there and leverage their organizations. But start with a call to your contacting your legislators, learn legislator at the state level. This is Jessica Hansen in the House, pardon me, is a fine, enthusiastic supporter of this.
To also add to what people can do, we had a meeting with my Hennepin County Commissioner Fernando. And one of the situations which she struggles with is she doesn't know, without doing her own research, at this time, if a one-size-fits-all makes sense in the approach to how to deal with these with this issue.
And that's part of the problem, is that the politics also include the county level. And what we find is that a lot of the county people have to start at the state level, and hopefully it will lead to some additional funding. A lot of the county people are not, they're not interested in additional outlays, and so they haven't always been eager to expand their existing capacity for mobile mental health crisis response, simply because it would cost money. And that's understandable. It's very understandable, and we are actually hoping that this legislation is followed up by, a very successful effort, hopefully, to increase the capacity of these different mobile mental health crisis teams at different counties. As you can imagine, some counties have more money than others, and none of them can really say that their systems are, they're certainly not overfunded, none of them. So that's a big deal, and at the county level, if you want to talk to your county commissioners, you could tell them this is one place you like your taxes to be paid, your taxes to be used. They really get very little input at the county level from actual tax, you know, human beings. They're very isolated, surprisingly. But people pay more attention to the city and to the state. So, but a lot of this depends on the county level government bureaucracy to push the money out to the teams.
Okay. And part of the problem is each city has its own statutes and laws that conflict, and it's the county that has to deal with those issues, which is why I'm thinking it's best that the county hears from the people that live in it and to take it to the state level so that the county is the state doesn't only hear from the county, but they actually hear from the people in those communities. And by clarifying what mental health crisis is to the state and they hear it from the grassroots, that helps define on how these issues should be handled more consistently and so forth.
Yeah, thank you very much. Both
of you. Yeah, thanks.
Beth, was there anything else you wanted to add?
I can't think of anything else.
Well, thank you both so much for being on the show, and we'll definitely post these resources in the description for the episode, and we will eventually here be doing ASL interpretation and captioning along with a transcript for each episode, so you'll be able to see, folks will be able to see the full transcript along with interpretation for the episodes also. So
wonderful.
If you'd like to send any other contact information or any ways to get in touch with you, anything else you'd like included in the episode descriptions, we can also include that, so just let us know.
Okay.
And I guess, you know, Beth, you can provide Michelle's contact information, I suppose. That makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
Or her, not, maybe her, the general CUAPB contact information, not necessarily her private email, but.
All right, well, thank you both so much. Your passion is evident, and your involvement in this is so important. Thank you for bringing it to our attention. We will continue to be involved with ABLE Media in these efforts as well.
Yeah, we will. Well, my only, I just thought of something. You know, would you, you know, if someone were, you know, in a mental health crisis, but was violent, would that, you know, would you recommend the police, like if that person had a knife, or would that, you know, what then?
When that happens and there's a potential for, or there is a medical issue, you would see an ambulance would co-respond. They might be staged at a distance until the scene is made safe. This is actually common practice. It's done even in some very, very violent calls. even
okay. But other than that, you know, because I believe, you know, as been said that the majority of people who are in a mental health crisis usually are more likely to, you know, try to kill themselves or, you know, than they are to hurt anybody else.
Right. And that's true. And there's a stigma and there's a false impression of violence that I think it becomes the excuse to send the police. And we really, really promote the idea that co-response is better than a police-only response by a mile.
Yep.
And just as you would send an ambulance, and that ambulance might not be within 100 feet at first, it might be whatever.
Yep.
But that is what the actual, there are co-responder teams operating right now in St. Paul, in particular, in other cities, and there are also a standard operating procedure amongst the existing mental health response teams to work with the police if there is a safety concern. This is common. This is a common practice, and the fact that 911 systems do not recognize co-response and essentially use any safety issue to be a reason to only send police is, and sometimes those safety issues can be a guess. It can be guesswork when you have these calls and you have very vague descriptions of the situation. So I think co-response is immensely important because it's very often these are the calls that where there's the safety concerns, maybe real, maybe imagined or exaggerated, will not lead to it can lead to harm to the patient. And having the clinician there really helps prevent harm to the patient.
Right.
Yeah, that's it. It isn't sort of this dichotomy. You either have only police or only mental health professionals. There are too many difficult situations or situations dispatchers get where they can't be certain of what's happening. So,
it's helpful to have the balance in the situation.
Yeah, it is.
So that the right responder can help those balance it out and so everyone understands what the need is.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Oh, you bet. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Wonderful.
Yeah, you're more than welcome to come back at any time.
Thank you.
Have a good one.